Susan, I was so pleased that you did the time change and you were here on time. I thought if anybody has trouble, you'd do it. Why don't you stand and pray for this service?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy, that the word ring true in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 5, the Lord says this, O Assyrian, speaking right to him, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. Psalm chapter 17, I think it's verse 14, the Lord makes David makes a statement, deliver me, O Lord, from the wicked, which is thy hand, O Lord. Deliver me from the wicked, which is thy hand. Do you realize there's times wicked people do things against you, and it's the hand of God? Okay? The God uses the wicked as his hand. Okay? Here, he says, the Assyrian is the rod of mine anger. Now, the Assyrian, we're going to see, is kind of a double entendre in the Word of God. It can go both ways. The word's in your Bible 13 times. That's the number of the Antichrist. There really was a country called Assyria. Bill Randall trained a young man who was Assyrian by the name of Samuel Babishai. His father was an evangelist, a blind man, grew up in Lebanon, and born back in the 1930s. And when he was born in this big, rich Lebanese family, his father wouldn't treat him any different. So he'd go out horseback riding, everything else with all the other kids, and do all that stuff, and then get saved and born again, but their native tongue was Assyrian. That's the tongue they spoke. And I got to know Samuel, his son, who also his native tongue was Assyrian. Now, his father, Albert Babishai, became an evangelist and used to travel through Afghanistan and to all those different places as a blind man and preach. In the 1950s, the Ayatollah Khomeini said, if I ever have a rule in this land, people like you will die. Okay? He told the story one time of crawling up a mountain road in the sleet. And he's crawling. And he said those things. He says there's cliffs on either side of the road. And it's sleeting, but he knows there's a lodge way up at the top of this thing. And he doesn't dare walk because of the ice and everything, so he's crawling, and he finally makes it to this lodge, and he says, you know, walk in, you can feel the heat of that fireplace in the middle of it. And he went in and asked for a room and bedding and food, and they said, well, they got to let him know there's some bad people in here. And he heard them, and they were speaking Turkmen, which is one of the languages of that area, and he knew he had Turkmen Bibles in his New Testaments in his satchel. So he got dried off and he went back and said, here, men, here's these. He gave it to them and he could hear them reading. And one said to him, wow. And he's reading from the Beatitudes. And he said, wow, our Quran doesn't say anything like this. And he said, yeah, and that's why you're dope heads. That's why you're smugglers. Because your Quran doesn't tell you any different, all right? I say that, sorry, just to say there's still Assyrians out there. Assyria was a place. But the Assyrian king is what came and took the children of the northern tribes into captivity. But, and by the way, the Assyrians will be a saved nation. It says so in the book of Isaiah. And then with the Assyrians in Egypt, and I'll call them my people, okay? And they'll come forth. So it's one of those that when God judges all the nations in the end, how they treated the Jews, the Assyrians come out ahead of that. Okay? But to understand, I've made this statement a couple times here, that things you see on this earth have their prototypes in heaven. Better should say, things in heaven have their prototypes on earth. Is there a Jerusalem in heaven? Yes, there is. Is there one on the earth? Yes, there is. Is there a tabernacle in heaven? Yes. Was there one built on the earth? Yes. Okay. So there's an Assyrian spiritually. And we're going to see that the Assyrian, sometimes when he's spoken of, can't be the king. It can't be the king. We're dealing with the devil himself, and we're going to see that, okay? Is there a prototype to you? Well, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What were the sons of God? All those angels. Do you realize when you got born again that God gave you the inheritance of an angel that fell? And that angel will do all he can to see to it that you don't get it. That angel will do everything he can to see to it that you squander this life and destroy it and don't get any of those things, okay? And that's where the battle is. The battle is against that who's paid his personal thing to see to it that you're not going to get his inheritance, okay? But go with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 31. Miss Katie, did you bring this water? They was a good job, sweetheart. Is Miss Katie a perfect little girl? No, but she's close. All right. Yeah. Ezekiel 31, go to verse 3. Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and in high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, and the deep set him up on high, with her rivers running round about her plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and the boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. And the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in greatness, and the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. Verse 8. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees are not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees are not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. Do we understand we're not talking about the king of Assyria there? We're talking about the devil himself, the Antichrist is who we're dealing with here. He was in the garden of God. The other trees envied him. He's different, okay? Going on a little bit more, verse 9, I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he has shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height. Okay? So the point of that is this. When you read that term, the Assyrian, you have to ask yourself in context, are we dealing with that king of Assyria, Sennacherib, that came down and conquered the northern tribes, or are we dealing with that spiritual Assyrian? Which one are we dealing with? Okay. Now, go with me, if you would, to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, and look at verse 4. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. I thought it was Pharaoh that oppressed them in Egypt. My people went down into Egypt aforetime, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Yes. Why? Because we're dealing with that spiritual Assyrian. He's the one that oppressed them in Egypt. He got Pharaoh to do his dirty work for him, but who was behind Pharaoh? Okay. The Assyrian was behind Pharaoh. Now, with that in mind, turn with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Now, if you know anything about the history of Israel, the Assyrian did not get defeated in battle in Israel. Okay, that's not where it happened. But instead, isn't there a battle coming in Israel? Okay? Called Armageddon? Okay? What's going to happen there? The Assyrian is going to get his butt kicked. All right? I was in a service one time. Ruth Ann and I were in a service. And Bill Randall was preaching on this. And he was preaching on the insanity of the devil, who can read what's going to happen. But he keeps going there anyway. It's what's called corrupted wisdom. If you want to see that work sometime, give an 18-year-old a credit card. Explain to them what happens if they run off and can't pay the bill, okay? And it's not that they're stupid. They can understand that. But their lust keeps making them charge things. Their lust keeps making them do something, okay? So corrupted wisdom is when you can see what's going to happen, but you can't stop yourself. Your lust, one step at a time, keep carrying you somewhere. Well, that's what the Assyrian is. He's going to get there. And he preached that, and when he talked about that thing, I was going to do that anyway. A woman stood up screaming, threw her Bible in the middle of the floor and started cursing people, went out and drew a pentagram in the dust outside the church, called out people's names, and some of them were destroyed not long afterward. She was just a housewife in the church. Okay? So I'm screaming over that, all right? That revelation of the foolishness of the devil. And the idea that even though he can read, it's going to happen. He's going to end up there anyway. How many of us ended up in places that, you know, parents told us we'd end up there. Everything told us that we ended up there anyway. And we could see it, but foolishness took it there. Well, that's what the devil's going to do, okay? He's going to be destroyed on God's land in his mountains. But what I want you to see then is this. Look at verse 26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? If someone asked you, why did God make the earth? He just told you right there, is to destroy the Assyrian on his mountains in his land. That's his purpose for the whole earth. That's why he made it. There's a war going on between God and the devil. And it's been going on a lot longer than man's been around. It started long before Genesis 1:1, okay? And that battle's been going on, and God said, this is the purpose for the whole earth. That's why there's an earth right now. I'm going to kick the devil's butt right there. And he's going to come. He's going to come. Okay. Now, turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. By the way, do you see that thing? Who shall disannul it? How many of you are told don't say double negatives? You know? But English is a Germanic tongue. The Germans use double negatives to make something worse. English always did use double negatives to make things worse. It wasn't until the 1700s Jonathan Swift and Ben Jonson got together and began to purge double negatives out of them. But when God says, I'll annul what you're doing, that's fine. But if he disannuls it, he's even more perfect, okay? Regardless of what you do, I'm going to do this. Irregardless of what you do, what's the difference? Well, the same thing, all right? One's a double negative, all right? But it gives it a little bit more power to it. I grew up in Cattaraugus County. The old people would say, well, it don't make no never mind no how. It don't make no never mind no how. Did you understand? Well, it don't make no never mind no how that you didn't understand. All right? All right? And it's just... That's how the old folks talk, right? But God will use double negatives in this Bible. And don't you be shocked when you see them. It's to give more power to that negative. All right, so 1 John 3. Look at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, right off the bat, I have to raise my hand and say, I was born of the devil and lived of the devil and... most of my life was of the devil. Why? Because most of my life committed sin. Okay? Right. All right? He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Genesis 1:1. No, long before Genesis 1:1. All right? All in that period, it might have been that beginning could be thousands of years. And again, get this thing straight. Okay? This church was established in 1822 and the end of the world. William the Conqueror took England over in 1066 in the end of the world. How do I know that? Because it said Jesus Christ came and in the end of the world died for us. The end of the world has been going on ever since then. Okay? This, we're preaching today in the end of the world. So when we see that term in the beginning, it's not talking about beep, this little dot right here. And we're talking about thousands of years. That's English. That's what it says. Okay? We talk about thousands of years. That's why people get into this gap theory. They're trying to take three verses. It's like trying to get the entire Russian army into a teacup. All right? They're trying to get all these things that happened in those three verses of Genesis. And they won't fit. All right? It's not going to make it in there. But believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. In the beginning. All right? Many things happened in the beginning. One of the things that happened in the beginning is the devil sinned. Okay? In the beginning. Not when God first made it. But in that picture. Well, either way, you know how long the beginning is? It's from Job 38, where he's making all those things, and the sons are gone, until the end of the book of Genesis. Now, I know Genesis means beginnings. All right? The book of Genesis ends, the beginning's over there. All right? That's the beginning. From there on, picks up the world. When Jesus Christ dies, that's the end of the world. Okay? The beginning of the end of the world. Okay? It's not at the end of the world. At the end of the world is when the angels come and separate the tares from the wheat, okay? But in the end of the world is where we are today. Once you get that straight, that in the beginning of Genesis doesn't become a bugaboo to you anymore. You're not trying to jam all of dinosaurs and everybody into those three verses, all right? You're not trying to make all that happen together in there. You've got a lot of room in there. It could be billions of years. I doubt it was, but it could be. There's no, it doesn't, you have no verse that tells you how long all that was. The devil's kingdom on Tarsus and all, there's, it does not tell you, okay? All right, so 1 John 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why did God send his son? Because he loved us. That's a great offshoot. Okay? When we were kids, they used to tell us the benefits to the space industry. You know, they spent all this money to get out of space, and there'd be a spin-off, like Tang. Was you know, they developed that for astronauts. They said, look, we have Tang today because of the space industry, all right? It's a spin-off, so things that you got out of that, all right? So things that came out of it. God has war with the devil. God's purpose that the Son of God should be manifest on this earth was to destroy the works of the devil. You know what one of the problems with you is? And again, I got 82 fingers pointed at me, all right? But one of the problems with us, you, is that the works of the devil are completely interwoven in our lives. Yes. Completely interwoven. Our thoughts, our motives, our deeds, our history. And Jesus Christ has come to destroy that. Old B.B. Caldwell used to teach at Greenville there at Tabernacle Baptist Church. And he would point and say, old God I must die before the great I am of that Old Testament can live and rule in you. Old God I must die before the great I am of that Old Testament can ever come and live and work in you. Okay? Old God I. In God's love for you, he sought a way to destroy the works of the devil in you. I've known people had to have big parts of their body cut off to get rid of cancer. I've known people had to sit there and take chemo that almost brings them to the point of death to hope that it kills the cancer before it kills them. And I have watched God try to destroy the works of the devil in people, trying to cut those things off of them, work things in them, get rid of the works of the devil, get rid of them. And let me tell you, when he gets rid of the works of the devil in you, it is so much better.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. It is so much better when he's done that. That is his purpose So what's the purpose of the whole earth? To destroy the Assyrian and his land upon his mountains. What was the purpose for Jesus Christ being manifest in the flesh? To destroy the works of the devil. Okay? Again, think of God reaching down and grabbing the dust of the earth. And the devil watching that. He molds that man. Breathes the breath of life into him and tells that man, you have dominion over the fowl of the air, over the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas, okay? You have dominion over this. And the devil thinking, I always rule that. What is that weak little, that thing's going to take over from me? That thing's going to take over, okay? And he hates that with all his heart. And again, we looked at that last week with that idea. What do? He came down and converted Adam. He converted Eve. He got them confused on the Word of God. What's the Word of God say? Got them go after their lust. Got them go after what it looked like. Those words he said and such. And got them to convert. And what happened to Adam and Eve? Next thing you knew, they realized their name. Okay? They sowed themselves fig leaves. That's why the fig leaf is a symbol of self-righteousness. They sow fig leaves together. Okay? Jesus Christ comes, he sees the fig tree. Was there any fruit on it? No. Well, just leaves. That was Israel. No fruit, just self-righteousness. Okay? So that's the condition they were in. Right? So the idea is here, here's man now, and the devil has caused him to fall. Adam, where art thou? I hid. Why'd you hide, Adam? Because I knew that I was naked. Okay? And by the way, was he entirely naked? No, he had fig leaves on. Go back, study that word naked in your Bible. We think of it as being in your absolute nevertheless. Mm-hmm. That is not the Bible definition of naked.
That's right. That's right.
Naked is showing too much of your body. Okay? I learned a long time ago that an absolutely naked woman isn't all that alluring. It's like a guy told me one time. He said, you know, after a while, it's like first aid flicks. Some of you know the agony of that. You had your mind so perverted that nothing could get you going anymore, all right? But you take a woman that drapes that body just right, shrouds it, walks, a little bit of movement to that dress, okay? That hint of what's underneath just because, you know, they dress and it's not like they wear a box so that, you know, it's all straight and everything. No, you kind of see that there's more curves than, you know, than you have. And, you know, and it's alluring. It's a wonderful thing to see, okay? And, you know, it's I'm far more apt to take a second look in a mall and a woman wearing a long flowing dress and walking and ladylike and you know, and her hair down on her shoulder. I'm far more to take a second look there than I am some girl walking around showing more than she ought to show, okay? We taught my daughter and taught my boys, if I was looking at girls, if it ain't for sale, don't advertise it. All right, just a rule of thumb. If it ain't for sale, don't advertise it. If they're advertising it, it's for sale. Okay? I look on Facebook, all right, and they have Marketplace. I've never seen a picture of something on Marketplace that wasn't for sale. You know, I've just never seen it. It's for sale, all right? They put it out there. They want people to see pictures of it or whatever. And Adam knew he was naked. He got fig leaves on, all right? And that's where that term comes. We need to start seeing more of each other, all right? But he's got fig leaves on. Some of you will get that. But all right. But the thing is, that's where that comes from. God teaches people not to be naked. How much do I need to cover up, preacher? Use your head. Get together with God. Use some sense, okay? Use some sense. Lenny was talking about doing, getting his chemo started. They said they can start this week. He said, I got a lot of work to do. And he's saying what he had to do. He said, I got to change your rear end. I said, you can change your rear end. I said, mine's getting real skinny. He said, no, my welder won't help with that. All right. We've seen God's purpose here twice. We've seen the purpose for the whole earth. We've seen the purpose for God to be manifest in the flesh. Each one had to do with a war he has going with the devil. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. By the way, Mr. Beal, I think it would be good if you continue what you're doing with that all the way through 2023. I think it's just good, okay? I think it's helping you a lot. I think it's helping us a lot. You know, one of the things you look for in a man that's called to preach, can he run his own life? And I've seen many a preacher that can't. Okay? I've seen many preachers that can't run his own life. You've seen it. You know, come in, they can get everything together, but their own personal life, they can't run it. Okay? I watched Kyle come in. I watched him take that woman over there whose life has been nothing but tragedy. And I watched her become a lady. Okay. And I watched the blossom of her youth come back in her face and her countenance, and I watched that. And then I watched Lily, who, let me tell you, now I'm not speaking evil of Lily, but if you've known anything with stepchildren, they tend to resent stepparents. They just do. You know what every child of divorced parents wants? They want their parents to get back together. And when they come with another spouse, there's a resentment to that spouse. And I watched that thing. And I watched over a couple of years where Kyle won Lily to himself. I watched that. I watched when he used to come in here wearing a mask. And, you know, we don't wear those masks. Kyle did. And you know what? It didn't bother him that no one else did. You know why? He's a man. He made up his mind, we're going to wear a mask. I don't care if anybody else does, we're going to wear a mask. I don't agree with wearing the mask. But when Kyle decides he's going to wear a mask, he just walked away. And I watched Lily so mad she couldn't see straight. I watched her where she could just spit nails, you know, wearing a mask walking in here, all right? But you know what? That's called running your own home. Don't do it, all right? So we'll have Kyle for the rest of 2023 take that 5 minutes, okay, and continue with what he's doing. I think the Lord's using that, okay? He's using it in the sense of preparing you, but it's also good what we've heard, all right? And again, that's... You know, I love it when somebody can preach, but I have learned you can teach a parrot to preach. Right? You can teach a parrot to preach. All right? But somehow or other, you can't get him to change the paper on the bottom of his cage. All right? Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 9. In fact, we'll go to verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. By the way, do you realize all new Bibles take that "by Jesus Christ" out? God who created all things. Okay, Muslims agree with that. Buddhists agree with that. Animists agree with that. Okay? But when you say created all things by Jesus Christ, got a problem. So the New Bibles, the New Age versions, get rid of that. Take that out of there. Okay? But the thing is, to make all men see, which is the fellowship of the mystery, which God hid from when? From the beginning of the world. It's been hid. Okay? Now, God's letting people see it. He wants people to see this. Then it goes on and it says this, verse why? To the intent that now, unto the principalities and heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, most of you know, when you first begin to read King James English, you realize it reads a little bit different than how we'd say. David says, call me Bathsheba. You know, all right, you're Bathsheba. I don't think you'd dare say that to David. All right. The old man in 1 Kings 13, saddle me the ass. All right? And, you know, and so our structure of language is a little bit different, all right, than a King James Bible. So you have to get used to that, all right, that it's going to say things a little bit different. To the intent that now, unto who? The principalities and powers in heavenly places. Who is that? Okay? Right, the devil, the prince of the power of the air. There are kingdoms out there his face. Let's go get that in your head. You know what Jesus said? He said, when I come back, talking to the Jews, he said, I'll go out into the heavens to find you. Okay? Do you realize if we find life on Mars, it's because it was seeded there? If we find life in the, European oceans on that moon of Jupiter, it's because God seeded it there. Or somebody else seeded it there, took a seed and put it there. Not because it evolved there. Not because a rock and an amoeba got together and spawned a jellyfish, all right? Seeded it there. Moses said the same thing. He said God would go out into the heavens to find them, okay? So the idea is, right now, let's say that Elon Musk does get 40 people on there to Mars, okay? You think there'd be no Jews amongst them? All right? So he'd go out to the heavens to get them. But don't be surprised if they're farther away than that, okay? Don't be surprised for that. Don't be surprised if somewhere there's those different pools of men or whatever else. But for sure, there's principalities and powers out there, okay? That's why when you get a real UFO sighting, it'll always move in straight lines. Because that's how cherubs move. Cherub has four faces. This face takes over, goes backwards. This one takes over, goes this way. This one takes over, goes that way. Read Ezekiel, it describes it to you. And you'll see sometimes where people talk about this thing in the sky and it kept moving in right-hand turns here and there. Okay, that's not a spacecraft we know. What is it? That's a cherub we look at. I myself, in the 70s, saw that. I remember a girlfriend of mine and I, she had a 1948 Willys Jeep, and we were somewhere around Forestville, New York, and on Route 39, and we kept seeing these things in the sky, and we finally pulled over and began to take notes of what we saw. And it was, there was no explanation for what we saw, okay? And, we kept saying, well, maybe it's lights from an aircraft. No, and then we realized it's not that. We finally both agreed when we were done that what we saw was beyond the explanation of anything that we explained. But one thing's for sure, they always moved in right-hand pattern. Think of an Etch-a-Sketch. Do an Etch-a-Sketch. You can only go, that's how a cherub moves, okay? Four faces, and it moves that way. And if you sift through the UFO sightings from time to time, you'll find those where they're only going. And those right-hand turns like that. Now, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. How, according to that, how will God make known his secrets to those principalities and powers? He'll make known by what? By reading books? By the church. He'll make it known by YouTube? No, he'll make it known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, let's take Timothy and his rebellion as a child, this Tanya and the bitterness and awful things that happened in her life, okay? Let's take Kyle growing up outside of the house of God. Let's take Nate and, his alcoholism and such, and let's take those things. And the devil just absolutely washing his hands and realize they're destroyed. I don't need to worry about it. And God says, you know what? I want to show my power to you guys. That now by the church, he makes known the manifold power of God. By the church, he makes it known. When we get together, God's taking and proving to the principalities and powers in heavenly places that he rules, that he changes, he destroys the works of the devil, he is love, he makes these things work. That's what it says. Okay? To the intent that now, under the principalities and heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to what? Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you realize we've seen the purpose of God three times? Why did he make the whole earth? To destroy the Assyrian in his land and on his mountains. Why was Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh? To destroy the works of the devil. Why did he have the church? So the principalities and powers in heavenly places can see God's wisdom. All that you've destroyed, I destroy your work. I destroyed what you did. I destroyed what you did in Stephen's life. I destroyed what you had planned for Dustin. I destroyed it, okay? I destroyed what you did in Ronnie Skolton's life. I destroyed what you did in Peter's life. I destroyed it. And there they are, singing the hymns of God together, singing these things, praising God, and those principalities and powers see that. Surprise you why you get fought sometimes? Surprise you sometimes why, it might seem that everything's against you and everything. Why? Because everything is against you. All right? But if God be for us, who can be against us? All right? Nothing can be against us. What did I want you to see today? I wanted you to understand this, that God has a war with the devil that's older than you and more important than you. Okay? But out of it all, God in his love for you delivered you from the devil's clutches and delivered you from what the devil is currently doing inside of you and with you and delivered you. And that God then throws that in the devil's face in the house of God. Is it important to be in the house of God? I would think it is. I would think it is important for you to be in the house of God, to hear the preaching, to learn, to let God do that work. I would think it's real important, okay? Pastor Hain?